I'm Celeste Headlee. It's On Second Thought. One holiday tradition has stood the test of time for more than 50 years.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
A Charlie Brown Christmas is a beloved seasonal staple, but the Peanuts Gang's TV special would not have happened if it hadn't been for the Coca-Cola Company. Lee Mendelson was the executive producer of that special. He told me after it first aired in 1965, he didn't expect it to be on TV ever again.
When we had finished the show, Bill Melendez and I thought we had ruined Charlie Brown, and then we took it to the network. They thought it was too slow, so we all thought it would go on one time, and that would be it. But fortunately, half the country tuned in. Back then, there were only three networks, and almost, I think we had a 45 share of the country tune in. So fortunately, they liked it more than we did. And of course, it's surreal to us that it's still going after 50 years.
Do you still watch it?
Oh, our family gets together, sure. I have to see if there's any corrections we have to make.
Oh, have you had to make corrections over
there? No, I'm just kidding.
I was just about to say, I definitely want to hear about those.
Yeah, right.
Because I understand there's a couple things that were up for discussion. I mean, we'll get to the Coca-Cola moment in a second. But I also understand that once you finally started really getting into this, there was arguments. Charles Schulz reportedly didn't like the jazz music that Vince Guaraldi wrote.
Yeah, no, that's all part of the myth that's grown up over 50 years. We did a documentary on Mr. Schulz in 1963. And at the time, we hired Vince Guaraldi to do the music. And in fact, he wrote the Linus and Lucy theme for that show. And once Mr. Schulz heard that music, he loved it. And he loved Vince Guaraldi. And then 2 years later, when we did the Christmas show, we brought him again, and he did the next 15 specials. So there's been a myth that he didn't like the music, but he wasn't a fan of jazz until Vince Guaraldi, then he became a fan.
Well, I don't blame him. Since you're talking about Charles Schulz, let's actually hear his voice. This is from a 1987 interview that Schulz did with Good Morning America.
This is the foundation of it all. He cannot kick the football. He cannot win a ball game. It goes back, I think, to the old Little Abner and Daisy May premise there. He never should have gotten married. You know, it was a mistake. Readers would like to see Charlie Brown kick the football or to win a ball game, but it would be a terrible mistake because it would destroy what is really the basis of the whole strip.
What were the discussions like in writing the Christmas special with Charles Schulz?
Well, what happened is, we did the documentary, and it was never broadcast.
Charles Schulz's day begins at 8:20 each morning when he drives four of his five children to school. Meredith, 14, Monty, 12, Craig, 11, and Amy, 8. On the way, picking up neighbors as well, we ask him how often his ideas come from his own children.
I think I probably get more ideas from watching my own kids than I probably really would like to admit.
McCann Erickson and Coca-Cola had seen the documentary. And 2 years later, Time Magazine ran a cover story of the Charlie Brown characters. And McCann Erickson, a fellow named John Allen, called us on behalf of Coca-Cola. And he said, Coca-Cola is wondering if your same creative group had ever considered doing a Christmas special. This was in June of 65. And I said, absolutely.
Had you?
No. And I hung up, and they said, well, we need an outline in 2 days down in Atlanta, which took me by surprise, 2 days. So anyway, I called Mr. Schulz, and I said, I think I just sold a Charlie Brown Christmas show. And he said, what in the world is that? And I said, it's something you're going to write tomorrow. And there was a long pause. He said, oh, okay, have Melendez come up from L.A., we can do it. So we met the next day, and we sat down and had to figure out in a few hours what our wonderful Christmas show was going to be.
And Melendez is the director, Bill,
right?
Melendez.
The animator, yeah.
Yeah. So Did you then have to make revisions to the story? How many revisions did it take?
Well, no, the original outline that we sent to Coca-Cola by Western Union, I might add back then, the original outline that we put together in those 2 hours became the show.
Really?
Six months later. We made some really key decisions. We decided to use kid voices again. Up to then, only adults had done kids' voices. We decided to use the jazz music, traditional music, Beethoven music, Vince Guaraldi. We decided that I had read that previous Christmas Chris and Anderson's Little Fir Tree, and I said maybe we could do something with a little tree. And then Mr. Schultz said he thought the whole thing should be based on the comic strips he had done each Christmas about the putting pressure on little kids doing Christmas plays. And then when it was just about over, the discussion, he said, I really think we ought to have Linus read from the Bible. If we're going to do a show about Christmas, we ought to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. And, of course, Bill Melendez and I looked at each other like, you know, holy smokes, how can you animate from the Bible?
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
I wonder if you ever got a clue as to why Coca-Cola, what it was about the documentary that the executives at Coca-Cola liked.
Well, we showed Charles Schulz drawing and talking about his characters. We had the Vince Guaraldi music, which was Linus and Lucy, which has become so famous since then. We animated 2 minutes. So all the elements were there for to come together. And then again, as I mentioned, with Time Magazine doing a cover story, it just kind of everything coalesced at the same time. And this fellow at McCann Erickson, John Allen, was a big, big fan of Charlie Brown. And he was really the hero of the piece. And he's the one who got Coca-Cola interested in it.
Did Charles Schulz drink Coca-Cola?
As I recall, he did 50 years ago. I can't remember. I know that they at the end of the show, they put a Coke bottle on his desk. And he did thank Coca-Cola for doing a show for us, which is, I think, the only commercial he ever did. And it wasn't really a commercial. It was a thank you.
Let's take another listen to a little bit from the Christmas special itself. This is actually, you spoke about this a moment ago, about Charlie Brown's choosing that poor little tree.
Right.
And he brings it back and everyone gives him a tough time.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you we'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
What was it like to work with Coca-Cola? Because the stereotype is, of course, that big business comes in and tries to put a commercial stamp on everything and ruins great art.
The network left us completely alone. We had one interesting encounter from McCann Erickson. About halfway through, they sent someone in to look at our progress from the McCann office in L.A. And it was all in black and white. It was in pencil tests. It was very slow. We didn't have any music. And this fella came in. He looked at it. He says, you know, I got to be honest with you. This is not very good. If I go back and tell everybody what I see here, you know, they may not want to do the show. And I said, well, please, this is, you know, you're looking at it with like one-third of the show there. Please, just put your trust in Charles Schulz and the Charlie Brown characters, and I think you'll be very pleased. Trust us. So he gave me a long look in the eye. He says, all right, it may cost me my job, but I'm not going to say anything. So we came very close to disaster, but it didn't happen, and then we were able to finish. We never had any interference or anything from either the network or from Coca-Cola.
So then tell me about how, when you look back and every once in a while catch this special, what do you see? What do you see that maybe you would maybe want to change, or would you all leave it all exactly the same?
No, we never thought about changing anything because it seemed to work so well. at the time, we thought it was a little slow, as I said. In fact, the show was done, and it opened with an instrumental with the kids skating, a beautiful melody that Vince had written. And I said, but, you know, maybe we could get somebody to write some words to that so the opening would have a little more pizzazz, because Vince Guaraldi had been working with the children's choir in Northern California. I couldn't find any lyricists, so I sat down at my kitchen table for some reason and wrote out a poem called Christmas Time.
You are kidding me.
And, of course, you know yeah. What's happened to that ever since. And then he got the choir to sing that and Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. So
nothing we ever really wanted to change. It just seemed to go along really well. And most people know the show by heart now after all these years. They can recite many of the lines.
I'm certainly one of them.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess.
I wanted to take one more listen to Charles Schulz's voice, and he's kind of talking about how he wanted to bring more girls into the Peanuts gang. And this is, again, from that 1987 interview on Good Morning America.
I always wanted to create a separate group of characters across town because I think the strip was becoming too boy-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Brown and Linus and the others. And eventually, Marcy met Peppermint Patty. Why she calls him Sir, I don't have the slightest idea, or calls her. But they've become very good friends. I love the little relationship that they have. They tease each other and mock each other, but they're very loyal to each other.
He talks oftentimes, and that's not the only place in which he talks about the characters as though he sees them as living people.
Oh, they were very real to him, absolutely. And to us, too. I remember I once had the whole six kids in my car talking together. It was, you know, kind of blew my mind to have them all in the same spot. But no, he believed absolutely.
You had them real. You had the real kids who'd done the voices talking in
yeah,
your car.
Yeah. And no, he loved the characters. He loved doing. He did 18,000 strips. And by the way, while I'm talking to you, in Atlanta, we did more things with Coca-Cola. 2 years later, they sponsored. We did John Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie with Henry Fonda. And they sponsored the show, and we got an Emmy nomination for that. And then a few years after that, we had Willie Mays. My first documentary ever for the network was Willie Mays, and Coca-Cola sponsored a show, Tips on Baseball, from Willie Mays. So we had a wonderful relationship back in the day.
Well, the Charlie Brown special got both an Emmy and a Peabody Award.
Right.
And I wonder what you think about it out of all. I mean, there have been a lot of Christmas specials, and some of them have been outstanding. What about the Charlie Brown Christmas stands the test of time? It's been a half a century.
Well, there were two shows before us, the year before Rudolph and Frosty. And, of course, they were both based on music and the songs. And our show had a lot of music, too, and I think it was the music behind all these shows that were key to their success. And also, it really goes all back to the Charles Schulz characters and his dealing with the failure and unrequited love and bulliness. It really goes back to Charlie Brown's daily struggles and our daily struggles, and I think that's why it's has stood the test of time. What Mr. Schulz was writing about 50 years ago is as real as it now as it was back then. And I think that's the test of time is in good writing. It still comes down to the story, and he knew how to do a great story.
So at what point did you realize that it was a classic? I mean, you said that it aired the first time. You thought it would never air again, so maybe it came back the next year. What point did you realize?
Well, when 45% of the country tuned in, that didn't mean it was a hit yet. We didn't know if they would tune in the next time.
Yeah.
Time magazine ran a wonderful review of it and said it should be repeated every year. And we heard from people all over the country. And I don't think we ever dreamed. We at that time, we said, well, maybe we'll get one repeat because of all this activity. But we didn't assume it was going to go 50 years. Although when we finished it, and Bill Lenz and I thought it was too slow, at the screening, and one of the animators stood up and said, you two guys are crazy. This thing's going to run for 100 years. and we thought he was crazy. But so far, he's been half right.
My last question for you, and I realize it might be controversial, but I'm hoping you'll tell me which of the Peanuts gang characters is your favorite.
Oh, no, it's not controversial at all. I think Charlie Brown, because we all, Mr. Schultz said once, he's like a little, he's the kind of kid you'd like to have as a next door neighbor. And I think the fact that he represents all of our daily struggles. He keeps coming back and he keeps fighting back. And he's really a very nice little kid. And I think he's by far my favorite, although Snoopy certainly in animation was critical to our success as well.
That is Lee Mendelson. He was the executive producer of A Charlie Brown Christmas. It premiered 50 years ago. So firstly, congratulations.
Thank you.
And secondly, thanks so much.
My pleasure, and thanks to everybody in the Atlanta area. We always get good ratings. And thanks to Coca-Cola. It never would have happened without them.
Have a good one, and a happy holiday.
Thank you.
She wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm going to kick that football clear to the moon.
Ah!
Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just slowly fade away?
That's a scene from A Charlie Brown Christmas. You can watch that holiday classic tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on ABC. And that's it for today's show, but we want to hear from you. What is your favorite holiday movie? Maybe it's a non-traditional one like Die Hard. Maybe it's a traditional one like It's a Wonderful Life. Give us a call at 404-500-9457 or reach out on Twitter. It's at OST Talk. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great day.